Thank you.
My guest, real estate reporter Ben Christopher for Cal Matters. Find him at calmatters.org. Previous segment talking about housing builds, what's being built, and California's population over the last 3 years decreasing. Before we get into your other topic that you wrote about UC Berkeley violating state's premier environmental protection laws and a little bit about CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, just a little quick statement about what you've written about in terms of the impact of COVID on housing and population in California.
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of folks feel like the decline in the population has been driven by the pandemic, not necessarily the deaths, although that's part of it, but most of, you know, in terms of the domestic out-migration, people leaving the state, a lot of it's just because people who work in very expensive urban areas in the state no longer have to, for at least a little while, were able to work remotely, and so felt like freed to move to lower cost states to work there. So that was kind of part of it. On the production side, I mean, it's been kind of surprising that there wasn't as steep a drop off during the pandemic, because for a while there was obviously a lot of disruptions, but the fact is, since the pandemic, has actually seen increasing inventory of housing on the market. It'll be unclear. I mean, you asked to sort of project forward what it's going to look like in the coming years before the break. I'm curious what these high interest rates are going to mean for production going forward. I don't know, but certainly that would be putting some, you know, headwind on production, one would think.
Do you, because I do stats on the program, and of course I'm just looking at, you know, the South Coast, Santa Barbara, and 2021 was such an extraordinary year. Talk about impact of COVID. The first 20 weeks of the year, we had 561 sales, single-family homes, and it just dwarfs any year going back to 2015, where the highest was 427, but usually in the 300 range. For the first 20 weeks, you know, I don't have the totals for the years in front of me, but so 2021. So I'm thinking a lot of movement, but not out of California, but within California. I wonder. And I wonder how many communities like Santa Barbara had that kind of sales increase. I don't know if that's something you've looked at.
No, I think what you might be seeing there is something that the demographer at PPIC, Hans Johnson, you quoted him at the end. One of the things that he mentioned is that there's been this kind of, especially during the pandemic, there was a spreading out, as he called it, of people. You know, they used to be living with roommates and apartments. They were trying to find single-family homes, both because they were working from home and so needed that office space, or because, you know, you just didn't want to live with a bunch of people during a pandemic, during which you know, the virus has spread through the air. So you had a sort of a trend of the number of people living in each house, the household size, declining pretty dramatically. And so that actually has also put upward pressure on the housing shortage, because even if you have the population declining, the number of homes you need to serve the existing population increases, because you just, instead of having, you know, room, you know, three people crowded into an apartment, you have, you know, a couple splitting off and trying to get their own place, or a lot of single family, or excuse me, a lot of single resident homes, which is sort of a longer term trend we've seen across the country over decades, but it really was kicked into a speed drive during the pandemic.
For seeing individuals moving into their own places.
Exactly.
Interesting. Ben Christopher from CalMatters.org. So shifting over to your neck of the woods, based out of the Bay Area, you wrote an article May 19th, 2023, ever since a California court ruled earlier this year that UC Berkeley violated the state's premier environmental protection law by failing to account for, quote, student-generated noise at a proposed housing development. Who knew this was coming? No, we knew this was coming. I'm sorry. We knew this was coming. Yeah. What was coming? What happened?
So last week, the governor with great fanfare, rolled out a series of bills and an executive order that is meant to streamline, in his view, the permitting process across the state. Meaning, a lot of this has to do with the sort of the signature environmental law in California, the California Environmental Quality Act, also known as CEQA, which is often it sort of requires any public agency, local or state or county, that is making any kind of decision, including the permitting of a construction project, to evaluate the environmental impact of that project and try to mitigate it. And it also gives people who oppose that project a very powerful tool to sue if they feel like that the environmental harms have not been taken into account. And so over the last few years, depending on who you ask, for decades, business groups have been saying CEQA is a major impediment to our ability to build anything in the state. It's why housing hasn't kept up with demand, at least in part. Even in recent years, you have some more liberal-minded folks who've kind of come along to that position, at least on the housing side of things. I feel like, CEQA is being used by people to block housing that is desperately needed.
That was one paragraph I highlighted that in terms of the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, defenders of the law say it's a vital tool that gives the environment and politically powerless communities a seat at the table. But in recent years, even some liberals have come around to the conclusion that the law is as much as an impediment to progress as it is pollution.
One example that some people might point to is this UC Berkeley case, and it's obviously very contentious, and both people, there are different sides of this argument. But in my neck of the woods in UC Berkeley, there's been this proposal to build student housing at this historically important park called Peebles Park. And the university was sued, and the opponents of the project used CEQA as a way to sort of stop the project, citing that the university had failed to take into account some of the environmental implications of the development, including noise pollution, because if you have a bunch of students living in that location, they're going to make a lot of noise, and that is considered an environmental harm under CEQA. And they made that case, and in fact, a lower court agreed. The California Supreme Court is going to be taking up the case soon, but it immediately provoked this backlash, including from the governor, saying basically, look, CEQA is broken, we need a major fix. And so it was in that context that the governor started talking about this permitting form that he was a package that he was going to introduce last week. And so that's why I wrote the article that you're quoting, in our newsletter, sort of previewing what he might say. In fact, last week he announced on Friday, the focus actually was less on housing and more on big infrastructure. So looking at whether it's renewable energy construction or roads and bridges, water infrastructure like dams, he has basically said that the state has billions of dollars it needs to spend, both from the state and also from the federal government coming in from the IRA, the big infrastructure bill that the federal government passed, that the Congress passed last year. Unless it makes the state makes it easier to actually break ground, then that money's going to get, it's not going to go as far as it should, basically. And that, whether it's climate change or the electrification of our transportation system or broadband or whatever, there are a lot of pressing needs that require the state to build a lot. And so the governor says that this is a necessary step.
Well, and it's going to go to the California Supreme Court. But goodness, do we have any time frame on when that?
The Supreme Court is going to weigh in. I actually do not know off the top of my head when they agreed to take it up last week. I don't actually know their schedule on that. And then on top, sort of a separate issue are these bills that the governor has proposed to sort of change the process, and those are just being introduced. And when I was trying to write about it on Friday, reaching out to various legislative leaders, and they didn't provide much comment in terms of, because they hadn't had time to actually read it. So right. We don't know, when or how or if these are going to get taken up.
But, okay. Well, hopefully
we'll be finding out.
Hopefully soon. Housing reporter for Cal Matters. Ben Christopher is my guest. When you talked about UC Berkeley housing, it reminded me of the and one of the words you used in here is the kerfuffle. I don't know how many times you've used that word in writing, but I like seeing it. The student housing kerfuffle. We have one in at UC Santa Barbara under something called Munger Hall. I don't know if you even heard of it.
Oh, yes, I've heard about Munger Hall. So, kind of famous or infamous, depending on.
Yeah, and he's a local guy, and apparently there were two other UC colleges that were looking to do something with this, and I don't know where that's going to end up. We're pretty much close to being out of time. I'm just going to see if you could make a quick comment on a third topic that you wrote about. California Democrats carved out the Dream for All money to help first-time buyers. The funds ran out in just 11 days, with the average loan hitting $112,000. So, God, that's kind of tough. 11 days, I mean, it's a good idea, but they just didn't anticipate the numbers? And what was it that they were doing?
Well, that's a good question. So, yeah, this is a program that was basically designed to help first-time homeowners, or home buyers, purchase a house by helping with the down payment. It was basically a loan, but a loan that you wouldn't have to pay back until you actually sold the house. So it wouldn't add to your monthly payments, and you'd pay it back through through the appreciated equity of the home. And so I think the idea was that it was supposed to provide, you know, first-time home buyers a sort of entry into a housing market that otherwise was, you know, prohibitively expensive and excluding them. So they set aside about $300 million to provide this program, and it got vacuumed up in less than 2 weeks. I'm not sure if that surprised anyone, but, you know, going back to our initial issue, you know, topic about, you know, the population's declining, we're adding construction, you know, are we going to see a sort of a simmering down of the housing shortage? Well, if this is any indication of the need out there for people to, you know, who need help to try and purchase homes, or at least the interest, I think that says a lot, that it was, all the money was gone within 11 days.
I hate to put you on the spot. You have no idea how many people actually...
It was about 2,500.
Oh my! So not a lot. It'd be great to track those 2,500 people, see if they ever do sell, or they live and die in those homes because they got the free money.
Sure enough.
Hey, Ben Christopher, you can find him at calmatters.org. He's the housing reporter, and very nice to meet you. And you came to the table with a lot of information, and glad you're a local California boy. During the break, he told me, you know, did grammar school and 1 year in high school in Santa Barbara area, so he knows the South Coast. And good luck with your toddler and your cold that you're fighting off.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Ben. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. That was Ben Christopher, housing reporter for CalMatters.org. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.